Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Listen. Melanie Cole's Health Radio is on now.
As you age and your overall health may start to decline, more and more research is showing that by changing your diet and lifestyle, you can increase your chances of maintaining a healthy brain. My guest today is Vince Andrich. He's Executive Vice President in Customer Communications and Product Development for Exact Mind. Welcome to the show, Vince. So tell us a little bit about the relationship between diet and brain health.
Well, the interesting thing about this whole field is that it's taken quite a long time for people and researchers to kind of realize that there's a direct connection between what you eat and how your brain functions. For years, we've known that the brain is a pretty big hog of our energy supply, primarily glucose. And so from that, we've started to see research as far as reducing glucose load, reducing the amount of carbohydrate you eat, especially simple sugars. And then from there, we've opened the door to a whole host of other things that we find now you can eat or avoid eating that help your brain health.
Okay, so tell us what some of those are and how early in life. I mean, can we start this stuff with our kids?
We should. We should. Most of the research points to a reduction in decline, not necessarily a enhancement with diet, although there are some things that do enhance. The primary mechanism is to reduce the damage, and a lot of that comes from inflammation and high loads of certain nutrients that, or macronutrients rather, that are in your blood that cause damage.
Okay, so what do you want us to eat on a daily basis?
Well, if there's like a specific diet or way of eating, most of the research points to a Mediterranean diet, which is rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, fish, and healthy fats, like monounsaturated olive oil.
Okay, so what people don't always know, Vince, what to do with these things, and they don't know how to take all of those Mediterranean-style foods and what they should be doing with them and how much of them they should be eating and where exercise in this Mediterranean-style diet kind of come into play for your brain health.
Correct. I mean, if you go from, if you don't want a Mediterranean diet as a catch-all, you could say a healthy diet, which another research study just came out that said it can improve brain function and reduce cognitive decline. And that's really fruits and vegetables, nuts, fish, moderate alcohol, and minimal red meat. So if you want to put that together, it's not really the food pyramid. It's more of higher lean protein and high vegetable and fruit, and moderate whole grains. The fats will probably take care of themselves if you're eating a good amount of fish, and you could supplement a little bit with monounsaturated olive oil. But I think the key would be to understand where you need to be energy intake-wise versus your activity level.
Now, what about proteins, Vince? Let's speak about proteins because I mean, you're a bodybuilder, right?
I was. I still work out like that. Yeah, I build my body, try to keep it up.
Okay, so when we're all eating healthy and then we see bodybuilders using a lot more protein than the rest of us would need, is that going to affect this diet that you're speaking about? How much protein should people definitely be using? And what's the difference between the protein that I would eat? I'm an exercise physiologist and I'm a personal trainer, but I don't overdo my proteins because I'm not working out like you would work out. What's the difference between the normal protein for good brain health and the protein that maybe you would be using?
Well, you know, the neurotransmitters in your brain are fueled by amino acids, which come from protein. So my guess is that if you're using the RDA for your intake of protein, you're probably low for just about everything. Bodybuilders, of course, are going to be a lot higher, or people that have high physical activity are going to be on the higher level, probably 1 gram of protein. Lean protein per pound of body weight. But it our work suggests, and working with other sports nutrition companies, that most people get into an active lifestyle and they aren't even eating half a gram of protein per pound of body weight. So a 110-pound girl or 125-pound woman is barely getting 50 or so grams. It probably shows up as okay from the RDA, but that's very outdated. How does that translate? I think that if you go around 3/4 of a gram of protein per pound of body weight to be healthy, and forget going towards more of a bodybuilding routine, but one of the keys to increasing your protein, especially over the RDA, is that it helps satiate you, it fuels your neurotransmitters for brain health, but it also it provides a building block for anything that your body needs. You remember, amino acids aren't just used for building muscle or neurotransmitters. When you get sick, your immune function goes down. Amino acids get cleaved, and they're used to create an amino acid pool to fight infection. That's why people that get sick a lot of times lose a bunch of weight, in particular muscle. And so there's a pecking order. And so if you don't have a good amount in your diet, you run the risk of a lower immune system, and then from there, everything kind of falls downhill. You don't need to go overboard, but it's a good idea to eat more than the RDA for sure. I always tell people a little more than you think you need, and probably a little less carbohydrate than you want.
So what do you think about adding whey powder and different powders? Because my son's a gymnast, Vince, and he's 15. And so he keeps asking me, and I keep, you know, working for the American College of Sports Medicine as I do, I like to give him chocolate milk when he's done working out, and I like to make sure he has good lean proteins and things. But now he's starting to ask me for powders in his smoothies and things. I know we've gone kind of off topic, but since you are who you are, then I'm going to ask you about these things. So what do you think about adding some of those things, and is he too young for that?
And his age again is?
15.
He's not too young, especially for things like protein, which is a macronutrient. The metabolic rate and the hormone situation that a 15-year-old male is in is very conducive to having extra protein available, not only to build muscle, but bone, other tissue, other neurochemical actions, and they have a lot of stress. I have an 18-year-old daughter, and I know that their lifestyle today with all the technology and everything is tons of stress, and it's not really proven, but it's my belief that the lower protein diet caused a little more problem, because remember, when anxiety is high, cortisol hormone is high, it basically uses amino acids, and it's basically cortisol is catabolic, meaning it breaks tissue down. So you'll lose some of your bodybuilding or brain-building materials in the fight against just everyday stress in your life.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Vince, really a good point. And tell people where they can find more information. We only have about 20 seconds.
You can find more information on exactmind.com.
Okay, exactmind.com. You can get more information about diet and brain health and all of the great information that Vince Andrich has been giving us today. This is Melanie Cole, and if you missed any of the great information, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com or the free TuneIn Radio app, iHeartRadio, iTunes. Gosh, we're all over the place. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.